So our Bible reading this morning is from Luke chapter 18, reading from verse 1 through to verse 8. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in the town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused. But finally, he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?'" Amen. This week at our council meeting in Renfrewshire, we celebrated one of our Paisley buddies, Craig Ferguson. Now, I don't know, you know the story about Craig, but Craig's a waiter from Paisley, and he walked 1,000 miles from Hampden to in Glasgow to Munich for the Germany v Scotland game. In so doing, he raised £75,000 for a charity that deals with men's mental health and tries to prevent suicide, with all these guys that don't talk about their inner problems. It was an amazing thing. And he had some good times on the walk. He was really surprised. There were mayors that came out to meet him and had civic receptions. So he thought he was just going on a walk. But people heard about it. And the mayors of some of the towns came out and they put on a big meal, and he was this celebrity guest. He never thought he would be like that, and he was. But of course, there were some difficult times too. And he finally got there, he did his 1,000 miles, and we got to the song, didn't we? "And I will walk 500 miles, and I will walk 500 more." And you could go on, couldn't you? But he said this: "Some of the lowest points for me have been when the weather was really horrible, the rain was pelting, and I had no signal on my phone. But these things are out of your control." So what kept him going for a whole month of walking? A whole month. What kept him persevering? The people, the new things, and the goal. The one that Scotland didn't score. But he kept going, and he did it. And he got there, and he was celebrated. And we celebrated him at the council meeting because of the money that he raised. So I want this morning to spend a bit of time reflecting with you on the value of perseverance, the keep on keeping on. In particular, what it means to keep on keeping on in our Christian life and faith. In 1980, Eugene Peterson, the translator of the Message Bible, brought out a book that for me captured this theme. It was called A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. And it speaks about the need for perseverance in a world of the instant. He says, people are used to things happening so quickly and they want this to happen and that to happen, just like that, everything to change. But it's going to take time. Eugene tells us that as a boy, he loved making model planes. And then he got fed up with that. And so there were bits of model planes all over the basement of his house. And then he took up stamp collecting, joined the philatelic club. Is that correct? Yeah. And then his interest fell away and there were piles of stamps left lying around. Then it was horses and then it was girls. It was during these rather frequent transitions from one enthusiasm to another, he writes, that I was slapped with the reprimand, "Eugene, you have no stick-to-itiveness. We'd say stickability, but he was American. You never finish anything. Years later, I found that the church had a fancier word for the same thing, perseverance. Now, Jesus frequently encourages his disciples to keep on, to endure patiently the difficulties and the obstacles they encountered, and to persevere in the face of adversity. And I think that message is increasingly important because there are so many challenges for us today in the church and in society as Christians to keep on persevering, to stick to it. Jesus trusted in God even when his enemies tried to stop his work and plotted his death. That keeping on perseverance is rooted in confidence in a God who sticks with us through thick and thin. We've got a big God. That's what helps us to keep going. When we feel weak and we just think, I really would just rather not be here. I'd rather just give up. Then we look to God and God helps us. Faith requires perseverance because along life's journey, there are circumstances that work to discourage us from finishing the race. Perseverance is the mark of an apostle and anyone who does the work of God. The Bible tells us that God notices Christians when we keep going against the odds and that God rewards us with compassion and mercy. Now, Paul, the apostle, was one who persevered. Listen to this. This is him describing some of the events of his life. And I don't know if you would keep going if you had to face some of these things. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled, and I've often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst, and I've often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, who is to be praised forever, knows that I'm not lying. In Damascus, the governor under King Artus had the city of the Damascenes guarded in order to arrest me, but I was lowered in a basket from a window in the wall and slipped through his hands. So when you read Paul in the New Testament, it's good to remember, you know, what was behind these words when he's speaking to us through the words of his letters, to remember how he stuck to it and persevered. It wasn't easy. These words which Paul writes didn't come easily when he speaks about love, when he speaks about us being together. He went through everything. The call to perseverance, though, is for all of us to keep going wherever we are. There are 2 people today in that Lucan parable which we read. There's a widow and a judge. Biblical widows are often expected to be weak, weak women. But they're not. They actually move mountains. They're expected to be poor, but they prove to be savvy managers. They're expected to be exploited, but they take advantage where they find it. I think of Tamar, the Bible's first official widow in Genesis 38:11, or Naomi, Ruth, and Orpah, the wise woman of Tekoa, the widow of Zarephath, the so-called importuning widow of Luke 18, similarly shatters that stereotype of poor, dependent and powerless widows. Yet again, Jesus counters the domesticating patriarchy of his society and paints a picture of a woman who is able. This is a feisty woman, and she's strong and clever. Not a woman down on her knees, but a woman with a fist. Here's an independent woman who badgers a judge until she gets what she wants. I love the fact that Jesus, against the culture of his society, values women. If only the church did it as much. But it's good, isn't it? When you look to Jesus, when we see that he values lots of people, all kinds of people who the society don't value, but he values women. And I think that's really important when we look at Jesus. And in this story, we see this able woman. Jesus himself engages with women who were not restricted. The woman who anoints him, Martha and Mary, the Samaritan woman at the well, the Syrophoenician woman, and so on. However, while we see again how Jesus values women, the key message he brings in this parable is don't give up, keep on going. Against the odds, the widow won the day because of her strong persistence. She is the epitome of the keep on keeping on, going into long obedience in the same direction. And Jesus encourages you and I to keep on in our Christian witness, to keep on going at work when it seems that people don't notice our faith. I have worked in several different situations, and sometimes you feel that nobody notices that you're a Christian. Until something happens, like somebody dies or something, and then people come to you. And you wonder why they've never done it before, but they do. People do see, even when you think they don't see, they see who you are and what you do. To keep on keeping on being a Christian in a workplace, it's not always easy. To keep on keeping on in our service in the church, when we're tired of that, to keep on going praying and hoping for our children and grandchildren, to keep on going in our care for loved ones, even when it's more exhausting and sometimes becomes really painful. That caring for a relative, caring for somebody. It was Carers Week just about a week ago, and we celebrate carers, but I don't know if the carers quite get it, because their life is sometimes so difficult, just caring for an elderly parent or a child or that's ill, or it's just exhausting. How do we help people to keep on keeping on? And so we have this picture of the widow who doesn't give up, and Jesus wants us to capture that, to be people who don't give up, but just keep on keeping on. Why do we keep on keeping on? Because of God. There was a quiz on Radio Clyde where the challenge was to give the opposite answer to the correct one. You got that? So, are you ready? Who is the Conservative, Sunak or Starmer? Yeah, you got the right answer, Starmer. But I thought I was having a bit of fun there anyway. Which is the primary colour, yellow or green? Yep, you're getting there. Good. Yep, that's right. Well, we're not getting technical here. It's Radio Clyde, remember? Partick is the area in Glasgow most connected with the Borders or the Highlands. So, no, not Highlands. Opposite answer, Borders. See, it's tricky, isn't it? And things like that, to give the wrong answer. So here Jesus is telling us in this parable to think of God as the opposite of this uncaring judge. So we got a picture of a judge who doesn't care what people think. And Jesus wants us to see that God is not like that at all. God is completely the opposite of that. Neil Glover launched a book at the Assembly this year. You'll know that's the Church of Scotland Assembly when I say that. It was called Finding Our Voice. It's a book searching for renewal in Scotland's mainline churches. I've got it, I've read it. As part of his critique of the historic Presbyterian leaning, he says this: out of those historic anxieties emerged an increasingly dilute and flavourless religion, whose God had created the world and its moral laws, but now sat remote in a far-off heaven and restricted himself to acts of general benevolence. To attempt intimacy with such a God was not only futile but also presumptive. But, and this was the worst of all worlds, upon our deaths, this distant God suddenly became furiously interested in our lives and would usher us into an afterlife with appropriate punishments and rewards. Unawares, we had created a stern and emotionally distant God. So he's saying that one of the problems in the church is that people think that God's like that judge, the uncaring judge, who's harsh and distant and remote. Neil is reminding us that the image of God we present in our church really matters. How we think about God, how we worship God, how we speak about God, that really matters. The point being that Jesus, who showed what God is like through his life and his teaching, shows us that God is not remote, is not an uncaring judge, but one who is with us and loving and accepting. Again, Neil Glover says this: but too often, over many centuries, we've become places and communities which espouse the muted, predictable, disenchanting and disenchanted God of polite society, rather than the awesome, unlimited, intimate, personal, public, passionate, justice-seeking, risk-inspiring, beguiling and enchanting God of Jesus Christ, the God who is God. This disconnect between us and God lies at the heart of mainline decline. If we are to be renewed, it is this: before all other things, we must address this, how we present God. It's a good book, by the way. I've always been really interested in the Church of Scotland, so I was quite keen to. And I know Neil Glover, and he liked Graham Wall from the Iona community and different things, and he mentions him in the book. But I wanted to read, because I'm speaking to lots of Church of Scotland ministers just now who are really struggling as they face the future. And so it's important that God's kingdom is a big kingdom, and it's important that we get this. And it's very important that we paint a picture of God in our lives, not as an angry judge, but a loving God who is close to us, who can make a difference in our personal lives, who changes us and makes us new. Jesus calls us, I believe, to a long obedience. And it's hard. It's hard to keep going in Christian life. It is. That's why God gives us his Spirit. That's why God gives us strength. Even when we feel weak, God gives us strength to get through. I'm old now, so I can say that. That's been my experience in my Christian life. And that's been through all kinds of ups and downs. Life doesn't kind of go like that, does it? It kind of goes a bit more like that. But God gives us the strength we need to keep on keeping on. So don't give up. Remember the song, I walked 500 miles, I walk 500 more? It's a great song, that, isn't it? Yeah, brilliant. So keep on keeping on. Amen.